go from being the man who said George Bush does not care about black people to saying that wearing his Make America Great Again hat makes him feel like a Superman. Yeah, well, later on in this hour, we got to talk about Kanye and the state of black America, since some folks have it twisted and they tend to believe that Kanye speaks for us. I'm talking about black folks, and he does not. Seriously, folks, we got to talk about that. It's also the one-year anniversary of hashtag MeToo, and I'm just wondering, has the world gotten better for women or girls, or has it gotten worse? I want to talk about that in the next hour. But first, I want to highlight just a few things for your attention. Folks, right here on this show, we are gearing up for our membership pledge drive, which begins on October 22nd and runs through October 28th. Now, we're doing something different this year. Usually when we have our pledge week, we bring in a lot of co-hosts and co-pitchers to come on the show with me and to pitch to you about why you should give money to keep my show on the air. Well, we did that the first year. We did it last year in October, and you delivered. We did it earlier this year, and you doubled your pledges and delivered. And now we got to do it again. But I want to do something different. And this is a radical idea, but I want to try it. I am asking for loyal listeners, folks who love this show, who call this show, who ride with me every day, who stand by me on this show, who come up to me on the street. I'm calling on you to come into the studio with me and co-pitch with me. I want you to tell people why you love this show. Now, we have a lot of loyal listeners. I could go through the list right now at the top of my head. And if you listen every day, you know exactly who I'm talking about. They call every single day. They are loyal listeners. Come on to the station and pitch with me. There will also be an opportunity for you to break bread with me. That's right. You heard it. I would love to co-pitch with you, to get this show over the hump, to keep the lights on this show, to make sure that my show is not one that gets canceled. I need your help to do that. I'm just putting it out there now. I want to remain on the air with you, so I'm putting out a plea for your support. Now, give us a call at 410-319-8888. When you call, that's not just to get on the air. That's something separate. But just give your name and your information to my award-winning producer, Justina Pollard. She will sign you up, and we will get back in touch with you so you can come on the air with me, and you can pitch and tell folks why you love the show and why they should support it. We also want to remind you that Election Day, November 6th, it is coming. You remember yesterday, I said we made a commitment on this show that we are going to push every single day to remind folks to get registered and to get ready to vote. Now, you may feel like I don't want to vote because there's nobody who stands for me. Folks, that's not what democracy looks like. Democracy doesn't look like you staying at home. We need you to get registered, and we need you to vote. There are other things on the ballot other than just folks and people. The lock box initiative is on the ballot. That's putting a lock on the money that's been pledged to go towards the Education Trust Fund and making sure that money goes to education and nothing else. Our schools are falling apart. Lock the money from the casinos. Just last month alone, Maryland's six state casinos made about $143.8 million. Lock the money for the Education Trust Fund so we can take care of our school and take care of our babies right here in Baltimore City. What is interesting is a new survey from The Atlantic and the Public Religion Research Institute finds that over the past 2 years, we've seen an erosion in African-American participation in politics and activism, even in a watershed election year like this one is for minorities. Democracy, folks, and I got this from The Atlantic, and I just wholeheartedly agree with it. Democracy is a most unnatural act. I get that. We actually have no innate democratic instinct. We are not born yearning to set aside our own desires in favor of the majorities. In fact, the one word I didn't teach my sons, but they learned very quickly, was the word mine. They knew how to say and claim what was theirs. So we don't have a desire to work for the majority, to sacrifice for the majority. Democracy is an acquired habit. We work out our democracy together. And one of the ways that we practice and one of the ways that we work it out is by voting. So, folks, get out there and register. Your vote matters. Please never forget that. I have a clip today from former president or forever president Barack Obama talking about the importance of voting. Let's take a listen to it.
So, my fellow Americans, whatever you may believe, whether you prefer one party or no party, whether you supported my agenda or fought as hard as you could against it, our collective futures depends on your willingness to uphold your duties as a citizen, to vote, to speak out, to stand up for others, especially the weak, especially the vulnerable, knowing that each of us is only here because somebody somewhere stood up for us.
Come on, folks, you gotta vote. And then finally, just to draw your attention before we speak about Kanye West, today is one of my favorite days of the year. I'm looking at Dre because I think this is probably Dre. He's my board operator. This is probably his favorite day of the year as well. It's International Day of Girls, Dre. It's an International Observation Day declared by the United Nations. It's also called the Day of Girls and the International Day of Girls. October 11, 2012 was when it started. But the whole purpose of the day is to increase awareness of gender inequality faced by girls worldwide based upon their gender. This inequality includes access to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, protection from discrimination, violence against women, and unfree child marriage. The celebration of this day also reflects the successful emergence of girls and young women as a distinct cohort in development policy, programming, campaigning, and research. I'm so choked up I can barely get the words out. There are more than 62 million girls around the world that do not have access to education. 62 million. Worldwide and collectively, girls ages 5 to 14 spend more than 160 million hours doing household chores than boys of the same age do, which means that we have our girls and boys in the home. We have our girls doing more household chores. We have our boys out playing and building and imagining another future. Globally, 1 in 4 girls are married before the age of 18. Many girls around the world are vulnerable to acts of sexual violence, and the perpetrators often go unpunished. I want to play a little clip of the Girls United. It's a whole little promo that was done with Michelle Obama and girls from around the world. Play a little clip of that, and then we'll talk about Kanye.
Let's go back, let's go back, let's go on way back when. Pulled right out of this classroom, couldn't have been too much more than 10.
Yes, a child.
I could be a psychiatrist, could be a doctor with degrees. Underestimate my high IQ, do what you're doing to me. You better think.
Think.
Think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, think.
Think, think.
Let your mind go, let yourself be free. Oh, freedom.
We are celebrating the International Day of Girls here on Today with Dr. K, because girls rule the world, even if guys haven't figured it out yet. Later on the show, we're going to talk about whether or not life in the age of hashtag Me Too, has it gotten better for women and girls when it comes to sexual assault, sexual harassment, rape? Has it gotten any better or has it gotten worse? We're going to talk about that in the next hour, because first, we gotta talk about Kanye West. Now, Kanye West ended up in the Oval Office. Now, when they first talked about this upcoming meeting between Kanye West and Donald Trump, they said they were going to talk about issues that were important and relevant to Black people. Now, I don't understand how a conversation about issues that are important and relevant to Black people would include either Donald Trump or Kanye West, neither of whom are in touch with the issues that are relevant to our community. But Kanye got the meeting. It was him and Jim Brown, who was noticeably and surprisingly quite quiet during this 10-minute rant where Kanye spoke apparently off the cuff. There was no script present. Donald Trump didn't even interrupt him. He just went on this tirade talking about, well, everything, actually. I was trying to figure out what his agenda was, but he was talking about everything. Now, we want to play a clip from the Kanye meeting with President Trump, and then I'm going to start breaking down what he talked about. I want to open up the phones to you, 410-319-8888. And I was thinking about, you know, what are we going to discuss? What's the question? Does Kanye speak for Black America? Is the question, has Kanye lost his mind? Or is it really just a conversation about the fact that we have people who purport to speak for us and they do not? Kanye West did say today that he does not have bipolar disorder. So do not get concerned. He is letting you know he does not have bipolar. In fact, he said that when they did a test of him, he scored in the 98th percentile, genius level for everything, actually, except being able to count backwards. But he said he's going to work on that. But Kanye said instead of having bipolar disorder, he actually only has sleep deprivation. So all these rants and these tirades, well, it's not because he's bipolar. He's ranting and tirading because that is what he believes. Let's listen to the first clip and then let's talk about it from there.
Two people that I like, and I guess they like me. And we're going to have lunch. We're going to talk.
You said, I guess you know I love you.
I know. I don't want to take, I don't want to put you in that spot. But
no, I'm standing in that spot. I love this guy right here. Let me give this guy a hug right here. I love this guy right here.
That's really nice. And that's from the heart. I didn't want to put you in that position, you know, but that's from the heart. Special guy. These two are special people. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, they're special people. And I appreciate it. Jim, Kanye, I appreciate it.
So Kanye West, who, if you remember, Kanye West is the person right after Hurricane Katrina that was on national television when they were raising money. He actually said and got in a lot of trouble, George Bush does not care about Black people. Anybody remember that? And they went after Kanye West for that. They said Kanye West is dividing this nation. Little did they know that when Kanye entered, he left the door open and folks like Trump got in as well. So he's now sitting in front of Trump. And the things that got me as he went on about racism and tax breaks and prison reform, mental health, and he talked about the need for art programs in school. He also said the president needs to get an eye plan because the president is the most important person. Kanye West, in the midst of all of that, said something that really, really concerned me. He said that when Hillary Clinton was running for president and there was the whole, I'm sure you remember the campaign slogan, "I stand with her." He said the "I stand with her" slogan was something that made him feel like his voice was not included. He said, "I grew up in a household where I did not have my father in the household and there were really no men in my household." He said, "I married into a family where there are no men in the household." He said, "So when I saw 'I stand with her,' that did not resonate with me." But when he saw Donald Trump, when he put on that MAGA hat, that Make America Great Again hat, he said he felt like he was Superman, that hat gave him superpowers, that he sees Donald Trump like a father figure, folks. And then he got up at some point when he talked about, "I love this man," he actually ran and gave him a hug to talk about how important Donald Trump was to him. He's not just ranting and raving. We can't say there's something wrong with him. This is how he feels. I'm thinking that we've had such heavy conversations where we talk about race issues and we talk about prison reform that maybe today we'll have a lighter conversation in the first hour. And let's just talk about Kanye and the real state of Black Americans, because these celebrities don't speak for me. 410-319-8888. We have Paul on the phone from West Baltimore. Paul, what do you think is going on?
Well, Dr. K, I used to do drugs years ago, all right? Many years ago, I did drugs. So when I look at Kanye, he admitted when he was on, was that TMZ?
Yes.
About taking pain pills or Oxycontin or one of those things he said he took. You can ask any drug addict. If you look at another person that's on drugs, you can actually see it. His not ever wanting to shut up, just keep talking. If you did some good heroin, oh, my God. This boy have every sign of he's popping some type of pill. So when he, but the only problem is he's an addict with a platform. Mm. This is why if you ever watch him now, he never stops talking. He just keeps going on. It's like he's feeling something. You know, and then you can look at him. You can look in his eyes and see that the boy is high off of something. You know, so, but the only problem is he has a platform. He's not for the people. You know, I don't know who he's for, but he's definitely not for African-American people. His intentions might be well, but under the influence, he wants to say everything. He has a speech problem at times when you listen to him. And this is new. He's not the same person, and we all would agree that. What is the difference? Well, he said when he went to the hospital, they wanted to give him all these pain medicines.
Right.
On TMZ, he said it was 2 days that he took his last pill. Now, from an old ex-addict,
right.
There's no way in the world you pop an Oxycontin and all that, and all of a sudden you got 2 days on your belt and you ain't doing it no more.
Well, he said, now, that's what I make a note. He said he got addicted to these opioids after he had liposuction.
He's still on them. He is still on them.
He talked for, Paul, he talked for 10 minutes straight. Like, it was like a Saturday Night Live clip. He just kept going and going.
If anybody who's an ex-addict is on the line listening now, please call up and let them know exactly what. You see him on the corners. They won't keep quiet. Their action, their emotion, their human behavior says wow. that person is intoxicated.
So how do we get get the platform away from him? Because what concerns me, Paul, is not just that you know, Kanye may have a drug problem, and I can see that that's a problem. My concern is that he has such a large platform. He was up in the Oval Office, and they were live recording and posting in real time every word that he said.
And see, God, and the thing about it, he don't understand that type of those type of people. All they want to do is expose black people to ignorance. That's what they want to do, and he's falling for it. You know, I can understand he grew up in a house without a father. Well, I grew up without a father, too, but my mom had principles. You know, I'm the man of who I am today, thank God, because I had a strong black African-American woman in my life.
Right.
So I don't use that for no excuse for my success today. I don't use that for excuse. I'm very successful, Dr. K, and I come from the hood. I come from in and out of prison. I come from being addicted
right.
on three different types of drugs. But thank you, God, that I changed my life around and had a strong mother there. So, you know, he can make excuses about not having a father figure. I can understand where he's coming from. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump is not a black man's father.
No, he's not. He's not. That thought that was very concerning. Call. Thank you so much, Paul. Folks, Paul just kind of brought up 2 points that I think are worthy of discussion. One, do you think that the things that are happening with Kanye, because he actually said this, is a result of him not having either a father in the household or men in his life? He said today that he grew up without these things in his life. Here's the other thing I think is very interesting is that Kanye, when he looks at Donald Trump, he sees a father figure. Now, there are some people who have been pontificating over the last couple of days that this country is actually in a better state now under Donald Trump than we were under President Obama. Now, I want to pull out the facts and figures, but first I want to go to a clip of April Ryan, who we just honored last Friday because she was entered into the School of Global Journalism and Communications, you know, Walk of Fame. There's a whole garden outside with her name on it. But I want to get a clip from her about her thoughts on Kanye.
A 25% increase in support for President Trump among African Americans, as the president claimed earlier.
I haven't seen it, and I'm hearing the exact opposite, particularly after the Kavanaugh confirmations. People are talking about going to the polls. I mean, you do hear those who say, you know, they support President Trump, but I'm hearing more overwhelmingly and seeing through stats that more overwhelmingly that African-Americans are definitely trying to take part of a blue tsunami. But when it comes to issues of Kanye West bringing black people to President Trump, that's a misnomer. Kanye West has made the large portion of the African-American community upset about his comments about.
So he's made a large portion of African-Americans upset. Are we putting that much time and effort? What I thought when I watched Kanye with Donald Trump, I just thought it was appropriate. I did not see Kanye demeaning or disrespecting the office. How can you demean and disrespect an office that has Donald Trump sitting up in there behind the desk? I mean, Donald Trump has already, in my opinion, completely disgraced the office of the presidency. So anybody else coming along, Kanye, whoever else is in there, Jim Brown, Kid Rock was also there, whoever else is in there supporting him, to me, they're not the problem. The problem is that this country elected a man like Donald Trump that allows the type of behavior that he is known for doing, he has admitted to doing, and they have rewarded him with the presidency. We have Judy on the line from West Baltimore. Judy, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, this is how I'm doing fine, too. I hope you have a wonderful evening. But let me say this about Kanye West. Kanye West, just like when they get a certain age, people don't talk about them anymore. So they have to do something to put themselves out there, because it's like Beyonce is not winning too much anymore. Cardi B is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
So this is what starts to happen. And they love Kanye West coming to the White House and Jim Brown, because they needed a black person to tap dance and put red lipstick on because they couldn't get Barack to do it. Have a good day.
Have a good day. You know, we have the TMZ clip, folks. I want to go and play that before we go to break, because I want to spend a little bit more time talking about Kanye, because even though Kanye himself is someone who's probably not listening to the show, although I hope he is, I think it's a lens into us talking about where we're going in the black community. Are we better off under Donald Trump? Because that's what analysts are saying, that maybe Kanye is tapping into something. Let's take a listen to that clip.
I got off of opioids, and I was addicted to opioids. 2 days I got off of opioids, I'm in the hospital, right? I'm taking two. Hey, everyone listen to this, please. 2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat like y'all called Rob at the wedding and made him fly home before me and Kim got married. I didn't want y'all to call me fat, so I got liposuction, right? And they gave me opioids, right? And I started taking two of them and then driving to work on the opioids, right? Then my boy, and I'd always ask my boy, you know, to hand me if it's, you know, we on tour, give me some weed, blah, blah, blah. So he had to go give me the opioids. And there was talks amongst my camp, like, Ye's popping pills, right? So when he handed to me this to me, he said, you know, this is used to kill genius, right? So I didn't take it. 2 days later, I'm in the hospital. I was taking two pills a day at that time. When I left the hospital, how many pills you think I was given? Seven. I went from taking two pills.
So he went from taking two pills to taking seven after getting liposuction, because he didn't want y'all to call him fat like y'all did to somebody else before his wedding. So Kanye West is saying, if I can just follow the logic, you folks are the reason that he got addicted, because he went and got liposuction because of y'all. He's ranting and raving because of y'all, because of his fans. Who is this base that he's talking about? He was talking about Rob Kardashian was one who was teased for being, you know, fat. That's the terminology he used. We got to talk about this. And I know this is not life-changing information. I know that this is not the information that will save us. We're just having a little bit of a lighter conversation, because Black America was on display today in the Oval Office. You might think of Kanye as a singular person. When the world looks at Kanye, they look at Black America in that White House, in that Oval Office, with Donald Trump tap dancing and singing. Let's talk about it when we come back. James, Valerie, and Tavon, I'm coming right to you. 410-319-8888.
At WEA, we play the music that inspires and uplifts you. Our love of jazz runs deep, so you can get to hear the best all the time. Help WEA remain your trusted source for great music. Renew your membership today. Be part of the voice of the community, WEAA, and call 443-885-3564. And thank you for listening.
Peace. This is Faraji Muhammad. Tune into the cultural, academic, controversial, and always thought-provoking conversations happening Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on For the Culture. We got those conversations that will get you talking, thinking, and laughing wherever you are. So ride with me weeknights from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community.
If you're looking for the very best in conversation, great music, and, of course, the very best slow jams in the city, make sure you join me, LaDon Black, nightly, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your community station, the station that's your source for cool jazz and so much more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Not sure if you are a current WEAA member? Call us at 443-885-2075.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're talking about Kanye West meeting with Donald Trump in the White House today. Now, a lot of you are pushing back against me on text message, telling me that this is not an important topic. Well, I think it is. I think it is not because of Kanye and his music. I think it is because Black America was on display today. Even though you and I might see Kanye as a singular individual, you and I may not see a connection between Kanye and what's happening in Black America, but the world does. Remember, folks, this is not Kanye on TMZ spouting off. This is not Kanye on Saturday Night Live spouting off. This is Kanye in the Oval Office with press from around the world live streaming this 10-minute rant where he's going on about how much he loves the president and how the president is the one who speaks to him and speaks to us, and how we're doing better under this president. I want to talk about that because that is what is concerning to me. I'm going to play a little clip from Kanye with the president, and then I'm going to get to your calls. 410-319-8888. Let's listen to 8429.
And also, I'm married to a family that, you know, not a lot of male energy going on. It's beautiful, though. But there's times where, you know, it's something about, you know, I love Hillary. I love everyone, right? But the campaign, I'm with her, just didn't make me feel as a guy that didn't get to see my dad all the time, like a guy that could play catch with his son. It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman.
When I put this cap on, he's talking about the Make America Great Again cap, it made him feel like Superman. He's saying that because he didn't have a father in the household, because he grew up without having father figures in his life, that Donald Trump came along and spoke to a part of him that was lacking something. He also went on to say, you know, in addition to dropping the F-bomb and saying BS, I mean, talking about all of this, but he went on to say how Donald Trump has to look good because when Donald Trump looks good, then we look good. 410-319-8888. I have James on the phone from West Baltimore. James, how are you?
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's all the fuss about.
Mm.
All he did was voice his opinion. I'm going to tell you the part that I like.
What did you like?
When you had Barack Obama in there, you think he would have brought a black man into the Oval Office?
He brought a lot of black people to the White House.
Not on a one-on-one.
Well, he actually sat down in a meeting of Black Lives Matter activists. There were 20 of them there with him. I know that he brought.
This was a one-on-one. He couldn't find one black person to bring him to the Oval Office with.
But it wasn't one-on-one. But it wasn't one-on-one, though. Jim Brown was there. Kid Rollo. It wasn't one-on-one. With Donald Trump, it wasn't one-on-one.
Well, he gave him the floor,
mm-hmm.
and let him express how he feels.
Which
Barack
I think
Obama,
is
Barack Obama wasn't going to do that.
But he did do that.
Barack Obama wouldn't even speak out for black people.
He wouldn't
even speak out for his own city. Barack Obama, to me, was a coward when it came to black people, because you all kept saying that he was the people's president. He couldn't be the black people president. That's the problem I had with him. And only time he said something was about Trayvon Martin, and he was forced to say that.
Well, now you understand. Hold on now. You said that. I want to respond to that. Because Barack Obama did bring a lot of black people into the White House. He would have programs during Black History Month. He would have programs, Michelle would sponsor programs for black girls. And the press would be there, though.
I'm talking about a one-on-one where he can let a black man get on the floor and express how he feel like this guy did today. Barack Obama when they never did that.
Barack Obama did do something similar to that when he would have the Black History Month panels and he would allow Black people to express themselves and how they were feeling. Now, let me just say, James, I am not talking about something I read. I'm talking about something I know because I was actually invited to three years' worth of panels.
We're going to have people like you going to co-sign for him.
Not co-sign. Saying, I was there expressing my concerns and criticism.
Today, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
All right.
He went into the Oval Office and expressed how he felt.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, James. We have Valerie on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Valerie, how are you?
Yeah, he needs to express how he feels to a psychiatrist. That's what he needs to do. He sounded like a lunatic. And if you're going to express something, if you're going to go talk to the president, at least make sense. The whole purpose of him being there was to discuss prison reform. How much did you hear about prison reform?
Not at all. He talked about the 13th Amendment being a hatch in the ground, and it takes you to the worst labor camp, and that's what he's talking about in terms of the prison system.
Okay. That's so, it. Now, what did he do to serve us by, sir, what purpose did he serve by going in there and discussing his mental issues? Because obviously he has pent-up anger about his father. He needs to see a psychiatrist. You don't go to the president to discuss your pent-up anger about your father not being there when you were growing up. We all had that issue. And as far as Barack Obama is concerned, he had plenty of Black people in
there. It was so black in the White House. It was so black in there, Valerie.
He had so many that they were complaining because he had too many Black people in the White House.
Yes.
And if I wanted anyone to speak for me, it would never be Kanye West. His feelings are not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about what he can do to help us. And he's not concerned with us. He's concerned with himself. Yeah. And why does everyone think that a Black president can go in there and just say, I'm just going to make all these laws and legislation?
People who don't understand how laws are made, Valerie. People who don't understand how laws are made. Because the executive branch does not make any laws. They only enforce the laws. So legislative branch. But see, to me, that's people that don't understand the Constitution, that
that's
don't understand how laws are made. Why didn't Barack Obama paint the world black? Child.
That's right.
Oh, so irritating when I hear that.
It's very irritating. But as far as Kanye is concerned, he did nothing but make us look, if anything, he makes us look like we have a lot of them. And he even tried to relate his mental illnesses to us.
Yes.
And we're not all mentally ill.
Yes, because of racism.
With post-traumatic stress disorders, because we're under a lot of stress.
Right.
We come from a slavery, you know, our ancestors. If he were going to find a father figure, what was wrong with Michael Steele? What was wrong with Ben Carson?
Yes.
What was wrong with Colin Powell? What does he have in common with that man? This is insane.
It is insane. Thank you so much, Valerie. We have Tavon on the phone. Tavon from West Baltimore. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing
well. He's just in it for Kanye West. He's not in it for prison reform or anything else. Like the lady said before me, not one time did he speak about prison reform. The reality is Kanye West had father figures. How did he get in the music industry without the guy, no ID?
Right.
The Jay-Z's of the world. He came up under them. He didn't do this by himself.
That's actually a good point.
The fact of the matter is the guy keep calling with this tomfoolery every time somebody say something. He want to keep bashing everybody that keep calling. It's unreal. Mr. Kanye West. Hello?
I'm still here. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it cut off.
Yeah.
How Kanye West claiming he didn't have a father figure and all this other stuff. Like you said, you named plenty of examples, fine examples, whether it was Democrat, Republican, independent of black males that he could have related to on a higher level than he could on any level with Donald Trump.
Kanye I like what
West
you said.
Just to put, because he Kanye West is smart. He has the mentality that any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
So he's not worried about any prison reform or anything, because if Trump really wanted to talk about prison reform, he would invite people like Dr. Eric Dyson.
There are people that,
West,
I agree.
Like that.
I agree.
Like,
there are people that can go in there who do this work every day. Thank you so much, Tavon. We have Andre on the phone. Andre, how are you?
I'm great, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for the topic. I do not agree that it is not an important topic, but I think there's an important distinction that we have to look at.
Thank you.
Donald Trump and others like Kanye are involved in the cult of personality and celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
He does not represent Black America, except for some of us, are traumatized at that level of a Kanye.
Right.
So Donald Trump didn't invite the people in. He didn't invite experts. He invited another celebrity and will use that celebrity to get his message across that basically he is the only one that can control the narrative about America. He's not addressing our issues. He doesn't really understand them. We didn't even get to the point of where his father got his money from by developing housing that were restricted to white people only.
Yes.
So he's grown up as a white supremacist. He practices as a white supremacist. That is his only platform. So Kanye is a tool for Donald Trump. And like Lennon said, sometimes a useful idiot will show up and make himself available to be manipulated. But that's really the only representation that he can put forward in the White House. Donald Trump is not interested in African Americans or people of color as a whole.
I appreciate you, Andre. Thank you so much for calling. We have Leo on the phone. Folks, we're talking about Kanye West sitting in the Oval Office with Donald Trump. And for a lot of people, if you look at the way the international news is reporting on this, Kanye West is representing us, whether you want him to or not. That's how it's being reported. And that's why I think it's important. We have Leo on the phone. Leo, how are you?
Well, Dr. Whitehead, praise the Lord. Well, what can we do with Kanye West? I'm going to lampoon Kanye West. Kanye West is the proverbial house Negro from the old days. In other words, he is married to an Armenian woman. I'm told she's Armenian. And
oh, the Kardashians, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
they're white people, okay? And he's so happy to be around white people. It's like, Massa, I was in the White House with your boss. Lord have mercy. I love you. I love you. He forgot why he forgot the theme. He forgot why he was there, other than he wanted to be used. He's so infatuated with Donald Trump. He wanted to be a flunky. He wanted to be used by the white establishment. And they've used him very well. And others will cultivate his friendship for purposes of misrepresenting the agenda of black people. So Donald the actor Trump has done it again.
Oh, yes. He's done it again. But he did it with Kanye's assistance, because Kanye wouldn't have been in that White House if he hadn't said yes.
Well,
he said yes
Kanye,
to that.
Again, Kanye doesn't know his identity. He doesn't want to know his African heritage and his identity from an African frame of reference.
He does not. And his wife is indeed Armenian. You're right.
He simply wants to be the colored man. So he's the colored man, and he's the fool. And they will use all kinds of fools if we allow them to. Thank God you raised this. You keep us on our toes. Thank God for your ministry, Dr. Whitehead.
Thank you so much, Leo. Folks, we're talking about Kanye West, Yeezy. Now, there are many of you out here, so I'm just going to go ahead and call you out, because y'all acting like y'all don't buy his music. I know for a fact I do not. But I know that there are many of you who are listening that when we click off at 5, you're going to throw on your Yeezy music, you know, let the windows down, ride through, raise your hands, and, like, lift it up. You know, you're going to do what Dre says. You're going to turn up with Dre and Yeezy and the music. For some of us, it speaks to a different level of engagement. For some of us, having Kanye West in the White House being put forward as a spokesperson for black people from a president who has not in any way spoken to our agenda, in any way spoken to our community, a president who earlier this week called on Chicago to bring back the very oppressive and discriminatory practice of stop and frisk, a president who said when he was campaigning that Baltimore is one of his target areas that he wants to clean up. If he's going after Chicago, you know that we're next, and we have Kanye West in the White House supposedly speaking for us. That's why I think we have to talk about it. 410-319-8888. I have Ms. Lewis on the phone. Ms. Lewis, how are you? Can you turn your radio down, Ms. Lewis? All right, Ms. Lewis, are you there? All right, folks, we're going to hold on, Ms. Lewis. We'll come back to her. We have Twyla on from Laurel. Twyla, how are you?
Doctor, okay, I am really well, but I'm just so flustered with a couple things with this thing. One, Kanye doesn't go to represent black folks at all. So Trump is not trying to get the ear of black folks. He's just trying to smear in black folks' face. I brought one of you up here to see me.
Mm.
Secondly, that caller that said that bash Barack Obama. What he doesn't understand is that Barack Obama was one man, one man. I didn't agree with everything he did, but one man can't turn around over 400 years of tactics that have been placed in this country to oppress black people and citizenry in that regard. So Barack couldn't do but so much, and he was handcuffed because the executive branch, like you said, only has so much power. It's the people who don't vote for your senators and your representatives. People miss that whole piece. When you don't vote for those folks there, they limit the power that the executive branch actually has. That's number two. Number three, the gentleman that said that what you do is a ministry, he is indeed correct. It is a ministry. You are ministering to people, whether they go to church in on a traditional way or not, you're still ministering to people. So I'm thankful that the community has a voice like yours that gets down and grimy with it, unfiltered in that, but respectful, but lays it on the table. And we really do need more people that are doing a clarion call like you. But the problem with Kanye is Kanye still has a lot of supporters. Yes. And as long as people are buying Kanye's music, Kanye has a platform. If you shut his money pipeline down, then he'll be irrelevant all the way around.
I appreciate that, Twyla. Thank you so much for calling in. Folks, we're talking about Kanye in the White House. Now, I would describe his performance as shucking and jiving. Maybe you would disagree. On Facebook Live, Nathaniel made a good point, and I'm going to say this, Nathaniel. He said, untrained and non-clinical individuals should not diagnose or attempt to diagnose Kanye from the comfort of their own homes. I want to say I am not diagnosing Kanye. Kanye said today, he said, even though someone once told me I had bipolar disorder, I went to another psychiatrist. I got tested. I tested in the 98th percentile, except I couldn't count backwards. I don't have bipolar disorder. I have sleep disorder. So even though I can say off the cuff, oh, I think Kanye's lost his mind, we're not clinically diagnosing Kanye. If we can get Dr. Jado on the phone, that's different. And even then, we can't just clinically diagnose somebody from their comments. I can't say he's lost his ever-loving mind. That has nothing to do with a clinical diagnosis. That's just me being concerned about a brother who's talking about Donald Trump being a father figure to him and getting up and running around the desk, giving him a hug, walking in the door and kneeling before the desk. One of the things my daddy always told me, you don't kneel toward any man. Kanye West knelt down before that desk to pay homage to Donald Trump. Folks, we got to talk about this. We have Nathaniel on the phone. Nathaniel, how are you from Pikesville?
All right, pretty good.
Now, you're the same Nathaniel that wrote the comment on Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I got your comment in, and I bought. See how it all works together, Nathaniel?
I know, right? You know, Kanye, that's my man. I like his music.
That's
what
I'm saying. Tell us why. Like, what is it? I mean, because... What is it about Kanye's music? Now, Dre said he liked Kanye until the Dark Twisted Fantasy album. That's my board op. So you ride and die for Kanye. Is that what it is, Nathaniel?
Yeah, I mean, I just like him. I mean, he's not like my, top, but he does have good music, and I can rock with it. I just think that Kanye, see, if I had to characterize Kanye, I would put him in the same boat, and I know people are going to give me flack for this, but Martin Luther, Malcolm X, Gandhi, William Shakespeare, Sir Isaac Newton. I mean, all these folks receive the same type of criticism and ridicule that he's getting, But these are the individuals we study in the history books.
Wow. Okay, wait a minute. I got to write this down. You're putting Kanye West, Yeezy, Ye, in the same category. You said MLK. You said Malcolm X. Brother, you also said Gandhi. Did you say Jesus Christ?
Gandhi. Yeah. These are folks who are heavily, who consider themselves, or now others consider themselves to be, these guys are heavily persecuted on their thoughts and beliefs and their actions. But when you have to study someone in history class, they take up the majority of the text.
So you think that there's going to come a day when your children's children are going to be looking in their history books studying the genius of Kanye? Because he said that some of his genius has been burnt up because of the opioids he took, because he did say that. So they're going to study the genius of Kanye West, because Kanye, like MLK, like Malcolm X, like Gandhi, like Christ, has been persecuted, and we are actively persecuting him now.
I mean, and look, Shakespeare, Sir Isaac Newton, all these folks—they receive the same type of battery that Kanye's receiving. But But these are the individuals that we're studying.
I'm telling you, we're not ready for him. So the world's not ready for Kanye. Thank you so much, Nathaniel. I appreciate you. We have Lisa on from Laurel. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. So, you know, I think it's a shame. I feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he is representing is mental health.
Mm.
He's not representing any of us at all. He's representing mental health. He sounds like he's off his meds clearly. And the last thing I want to say is that who keeps telling this guy he's a genius? Like, that's bananas. That is straight bananas. And there's people that believe it and they co-signing on it. Maybe they think they're genius too. But the last thing, it's just bananas,
yes. Somebody has led this man because he keeps dropping the name genius as if it replaces the name Kanye, right?
I don't know of any mental health evaluation in all of my years of training that includes counting backwards. Now,
I hate to laugh, but he actually said, he said, the only one I messed up on is I couldn't count backwards, but I'm working on that. I'm like, dude, really?
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate you. We have Mike on from Ellicott City. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I know I'm about to catch it.
Uh-oh.
It is what it is, man. You know what? To all the people that's saying whatever they saying about Kanye West, at least he's there.
At least he's there. Ooh.
And if don't nothing come about it, what would be the difference anyway?
Yeah.
But if something does come about it, then don't jump on the bandwagon when some changes do come about it. What I'm saying to you is that people knocked everybody in the past when they tried, when Frederick Douglass was hanging with Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
They knocked him. He's in the history books now. I'm not saying that Kanye West wouldn't be in the history books. I'm not saying that.
Mm.
But Frederick Douglass is in the history books now as a great man. But back then, he was a rebel rouser. Martin Luther King. When Martin Luther King sat down with, Johnson.
Multiple times.
He was a rebel rouser. Martin Luther King was a rebel rouser. He wasn't speaking for half the population. He was only speaking for the civil rights movement, which at the time wasn't super big. People jumped on the bandwagon after it started gaining momentum.
Right.
What I'm saying to you is that at least he's doing something. At least he's doing something. Everybody else who's calling in and saying this, he crazy, he this, that, and the third, ain't nobody else doing nothing. And our Democratic leaders who've been leading us for the past 50 years ain't got us nothing but dependency and welfare checks at the end of the day. And that's my take, and I know I'm ready to take it.
Okay, no problem. Stand by, Mike. I'm sure people are going to call. Thank you for calling. Now, folks, I just want to add something that Mike said, right? Now, Mike was saying at least he's doing something. It made me go and pull up the information on Kim Kardashian, the wife, of course, of Yeezy. Now, remember when Kim Kardashian went to the White House and folks like me, I'm going to be very transparent, folks like me had a real problem. Like, what is she doing up in there? What is going on? Why is anyone meeting with him? What is she acting on behalf of? What's her activism record? What's her platform? But this is what happened as a result of that meeting. A grandmother whose life sentence was commuted by President Trump on Wednesday was released from her Alabama prison the same night, is what her lawyer said. Her name was Alice Marie Johnson, 63 years old, reunited with her family. Her case was championed by reality TV personality Kim Kardashian, who met with Mr. Trump at the White House about sentencing and prison reform. Due to the work of Kim Kardashian in that meeting with Donald Trump, this grandmother, a black woman, 63 years old, got her sentence overturned after she had been behind bars for 21 years. So maybe Mike might have a point. Maybe Kanye is acting kind of strange for that 10 minutes, but maybe over lunch, maybe he started talking about prison reform. Maybe he started talking about a way we could turn this around. Maybe he started talking about getting rid of our student loans and helping our communities. I don't know. I know what I saw. We have Slugger on. Slugger's a new caller from West Baltimore. Slugger, welcome to the family.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Oh, man, I got a lot of stuff to say. The callers that were calling in actually supporting this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, some of them are not doing their history, or they want to ignore their history. Because when Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass went and sat with the presidents, they were in support of a wider margin of the population. And Kanye West is only in support of himself. He's an embarrassment to our community for him to even represent us. What he said in the White House today and how he said it and the condition that he was in when he said it was a total embarrassment to us. And the other caller that called in and said, let him speak, let him speak. Yes, okay, let him speak. But he's not in support of anything that you went through when you were a kid, when you grew up in the ghetto.
Right, that's a good point. You know,
and Donald Trump doesn't understand any of that. He doesn't understand any of our issues at all. Neither does Kanye West, because his mother was a nurse. He grew up in a pretty good middle-class home.
Yeah, both his parents were
activists.
Okay,
a lot of us grew up without a dad. But another thing is that a lot of people don't realize is that the Republican Party is actually going to take Kanye West, grease him up, take his pants down, and pass his butt around to all of the congressional leaders in the Republican Party.
Now, you had me up into that part, because that, even though I understand the picture and the image that you're building, sounds like rape, child rape. And I'm a bit concerned about that. So you're saying pull his pants down. Now, we can talk about Kanye being used by the Republican Party without having to get into kind of a sexual overtone. I mean, Kanye's but it brings up an image of, you know, pulling the pants down, passing him around, being used. Like, something about that is a very disturbing image. So did you mean to go in that direction, Slugger?
I apologize for the graphics, but he doesn't realize what they're actually doing to him.
Right. Now,
when Kim Kardashian went to the White House, I was in support of what she did.
Yeah, good results.
She got good results.
Right.
And she didn't embarrass herself.
Right.
You know, and she did it in a classy way, very professional.
It changed my image of her for that. Well, I got to wrap up here. We got a hard break. Sorry about that, Slugger. Thank you for calling. Folks,